Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. We're going to hear all four, so would you read all four items?
Item 66, amend city code to provide funding to address Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, including at intersections and around schools, reduce traffic congestion, expand the bicycle network, and improve freight mobility as companion to Multnomah County's efforts to secure funding to replace the Selwood Bridge. Item 67, establish a Portland Safe, Sound, and Green Streets Independent Oversight Committee to ensure the effective delivery of projects and services. Item 68, support Multnomah County's efforts to raise funds to address maintenance and safety deficiencies of the Selwood Bridge and other transportation infrastructure throughout the county. Item 69, review funding for Portland's Office of Transportation derived from the state gas tax after the outcome of the 2009 Oregon State legislative session.
Commissioner Adams, did you wish to make some amendments?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. We have two separate pages that detail some amendments that should be at your place for my colleagues. Agenda item 66, agenda item 67, 69, and actually two amendments for agenda item 66.
Are there any substantive issues that you would want to advise the folks here about?
Sure. The first agenda item amendment for agenda item 66 clarifies, it strikes the word exponentially after section 1 under a council finding. Section 1, number 4, changes the sentence, the gas tax is the city's primary revenue stream for maintenance. That amends, it used to read, the gas tax is the city's only revenue stream for maintenance, so that's just a clarification for accuracy. Under 17.21.030, we strike the words adopting policies and insert the words making policy recommendations. Agenda or section 17.21.050, we add G. We add the words and will be reviewed annually to ensure billing costs are financed. Under 17.21.160, the date, the effective date, the fees imposed under this ordinance will begin on July 1st, not June 1st, and that date change is reflected in 17.21.070. There are also some corrections to Exhibit 3 so that the trip generation rates are corrected for fueling station change in line 84. Fueling station fuel only is changed from 150.31 to 30.67. Change line item 85 for service stations. So that they're consistent. Change line item 336 to reflect the corrected rate, and change line item 540 to reflect the corrected rate. That's for the other agenda item. I'm sorry, the other amendment for item 66, and maybe we vote on these one item at a time, is to include the following sentence for 17.21.050C. It's clarification. Once the SMIF administrator determines the developed use and customer service group, the administrator will use the trips per unit and the accompanying rates as found in Exhibit 3 attached to ordinance number, and it'll get the ordinance number once it's passed, entitled, quote, trip generation rates by NAICS, SIC, and county property use codes, and attached hereunto.
So starting with 66, do I hear a motion for amendment on 66?
So moved.
Second.
Call the vote.
Leonard. Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Amendment to item 67.
Amendment to item 67 clarifies some wording so that letter A, the city code is amended to add section 17.21.210 to 17.21.295 as follows, and then it's strike out created purpose and added safe, sound, and green streets oversight committee. And then there is a by that is struck and a from that is inserted for agenda item 67 under 17.21.295.
And is there, okay. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
The last amendment is agenda item 69. The following sentence, which read, after significant public outreach, the stakeholder committee recommended the gas tax increase is changed to, after significant public outreach, the stakeholder committee recommended a gas tax increase. And under the therefore be it resolved that the Portland Office of Transportation review the outcome of the 2009 legislative session, following words are struck, and in regard to that outcome is directed to determine if a local gas tax is an appropriate funding source for maintenance and safety needs of the transportation system and offer a report to council in August of 2009. That struck out, and what's added is, or transportation revenue sources, if new revenue generated by the state sources is not in conformance with the Safe, Sound, and Green Street financial plan, the Portland Office of Transportation is directed to report and make recommendations to the City Council in August of 2009.
Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We turn to item 66. Commissioner Adam?
So we're going to give a overview, and we'll be talking to all the agenda items today, and testimony will be taken at one time on all the agenda items today. So if, Sue, if you could come forward. Do you want John and so if the whole team would come forward? So Mayor, members of the City Council, we have a presentation to make. We've tried to distill it down to be as quick as possible. Then we have some invited testimony of folks that have asked to testify, and then it'll be open to public testimony. So the development process, we ready for the slides? So the development process for this began, internally began about a year and a half ago, but externally began six months ago when it became clear that the state legislature for the eighth legislative session was not going to be able to find additional resources for transportation. So we put together an 89-person stakeholder committee. The committee is so large because we wanted to have at the table representatives from the major transportation stakeholders in the city. We also held 20 town hall meetings broadcast on cable. We did three rounds of citywide focus groups or polling. That helped the stakeholder committee with their deliberations. All of this stuff was posted on the Safe, Sound, and Green, Safe and Sound website, much of it posted on CommissionerSam.com. We did two citywide mailings, inviting people to the town halls, but also giving them some substantive facts about the situation that we face in transportation. And we did conversations with many neighborhood and business district associations. I think we got to most all the business district associations, if not all. We also tried to make this relevant to folks in terms of mapping everything that we were talking about and providing lists at the same time, facts and figures.
Susan Keel, Director of Transportation, and I'm pleased to be here today. We also had a financial review by an independent committee that came with particular financial expertise to take a look at how we were currently spending our money and whether there was need, and to examine anything around the financial side of transportation. I'm happy to report that that committee documented that we were spending our money appropriately, the money that the taxpayers have entrusted to us, and that insufficient funding has resulted in a decline in the condition of the transportation system. Without additional funding, there would be further deterioration, was a finding of that committee. They also looked at the underinvestment in maintenance over time. The state gas tax, as Commissioner Adams had said, is the primary source of funding for maintenance and safety, and the 24 cent a gallon gas tax had not been increased since 1993. It's a substantial period of time over which inflation had increased, particularly inflation related to transportation, which is heavily oriented to fuel, and that as a component of asphalt, the oil in the asphalt. So those costs had increased by 70%. Frankly, we receive out of the gas tax about 40 cents on each dollar because of the distribution. We're a donor area, in fact. The distribution of state gas tax dollars is done on the basis of population and vehicle registration, and frankly, the growth has not been in our area. So consequently, the dollar in 1993 now is worth 58 cents in buying power. We also have looked at how we compare to other Western states in terms of gas taxes, and we are the lowest of the states that you see on that graphic. So we are not highly taxed for transportation at this point. Our transportation backlog, or deferred maintenance, the streets in poor and very poor condition, have increased by 221 miles since 1993, that year in which the last gas tax increase occurred. And the next graphic shows you the difference in doing the maintenance, the renovation, whatever kind of work is required on the roads at the proper time, and waiting until it fails entirely. This is one of those that if you don't invest at the proper point, it costs a great deal more to make the needed repairs. The city's deferred maintenance liability has now grown to over $422 million. And due to insufficient resources for preventative maintenance, it grows by an additional $9 million every year. Question could be raised, why haven't we said anything about it before? From my perspective, that's a leadership kind of question, because it has been something that transportation has tried to hold together with chewing gum and baling wire, and it really has gone well beyond the ability to do that kind of thing. So I give a great deal of credit to Commissioner Adams for raising this question. Over the last 10 years, people have been killed. We document 378 people were killed and 2,662 people were injured, many because of inadequate funding for relatively inexpensive safety improvements. The annual economic impact of traffic collisions, injuries, and deaths have been estimated by the Traffic Safety Council to be in the neighborhood of $412 million a year. And without additional funding, our arterial streets in poor condition will increase by 276 miles by 2016. Also will be no, without this additional funding, there'll be no local match for the Selwood Bridge. Our outdated signals will continue to create more congestion and air pollution. We're not able to synchronize them in the way that would be most helpful because of the technology. People are going to continue to complain about the conflicts between bicycles and motorized vehicles because they're all on those busy streets when we could be putting them on roads that are local and adjacent to those heavily traveled streets. Portlanders will be enabled to enjoy their neighborhood on foot, bicycle, or transit due to traffic safety concerns, and that is, I think, particularly an issue in the Southwest where the arterials are the transit routes and they don't have sidewalks.
Just to clarify that first point, if we could go back, that if the vehicle registration fee being contemplated by the county, which we'll hear from Chair Wheeler in a few minutes, doesn't go through, there will be no local match for the sale.
So, Commissioner Adams, back to you.
All right. So, we wanted to, in addition to going out and involving hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the town hall discussions, we wanted to make sure that we were of all the variety of things and places that we could invest in the transportation, different elements of the transportation system. We wanted to get a sense of what the public, how the public wanted us to prioritize. We knew we were not going to be able to have the resources or find the resources to do everything. So without enough money to do everything, where should we prioritize? Adam Davis of Davis and Hibbett's polling firm did our polling, and the top four results, the top four items that the public wanted us to make additional investments in if we had the money was to improve signalization, to reduce congestion, and to reduce pollution. Apparently, cars emit the most greenhouse gases while they're idling. Second was the maintenance of the bridges, and specifically the Willamette River bridges. City of Portland is responsible for 157 bridges. We are not responsible for any of the bridges that cross the Willamette River. You hear from Chair Wheeler in a few minutes the difficulty that he has in addressing the maintenance backlog on those facilities. The third most popular item to invest more resources in was to reduce the conflict between motorists and bicyclists by developing alternative facilities on adjacent lower volume streets, bike boulevards or bike and pedestrian boulevards. And the fourth was maintenance of the roads. There was strong support for a street safety and maintenance fee, and there's strong support as part of this to include rewards for people who chose to do the green thing. Is this mine as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are not asking Portlanders to consider I'm not asking the City Council or Portlanders to consider writing a blank check to transportation. This is an investment based on a defined list of projects. This is a 15-year effort that will be overseen in addition to the City Council and the Commissioner in charge and the management of the Portland Office of Transportation. This effort will have the oversight of an independent oversight committee. And unlike the Bureau Budget Committees in the City of Portland that report to the management of a particular bureau, this will report directly to the City Council, report directly to the public. They will be setting what the overhead charges are for the bureau. They will be deciding on a year-by-year basis what projects are going to go in what order. They will report annually on the results, and they will make sure that we are keeping faith with the commitments that we are making today. At every point along the way, when we considered various projects around the city, we have done so with an eye to leveraging state, federal, and SDC funds, which are system development funds, and other funds. We estimate that the proposal in front of the City Council today will leverage about $50 million in transportation system development charges. The majority of the work, because of state law, will be contracted out. State law says that public works projects that are valued at more than $125,000 must go to the lowest provider of those services. It will fund the priority needs in each area of the city, but we could spend the entire amount of this package in one area of the city and still not fix everything. So this is only funding the worst of the worst and the most unsafe of the unsafe. We will implement the pavement audit auction recommendations. That work is already underway, and it does include green discounts. We will work, once this is passed, to buy local and to make sure that we're using procurement to women and minority-owned firms Our estimate is that this will produce between 400 and 500 jobs over the life of the 15-year life of the project. We will not use this new resource to supplant other resources. That's why this is project specific. You see the projects and our estimated amount on all the documentation we've provided. This will require a renewal in 15 years. And we have put together the concept as requested by the Small Business Advisory Council to put together a business mitigation fund. A lot of these streets are in main streets and neighborhood business districts, and so the mitigation fund is intended to help businesses stay open during the construction. We will implement the city's Green Street Policy, which is the first Green Street Policy we know of in the United States, ensuring that more of the 37 inches of rain that fall on the 4,000 miles of streets and roads in this city goes into the ground, recharging the groundwater, making the Willamette River and the watersheds more healthy instead of going into a pipe. Business and neighborhood associations will work together with the Oversight Committee to finalize the projects, and it's the intent that the Oversight Committee representatives from neighborhoods will meet with each of the district coalitions within their area to review the proposed Safe, Sound, and Green Street work plan and draft a report to Council prior to the annual City Council Safe, Sound, and Green Street Oversight Committee annual work session. As established in the ordinance, this work session will occur annually prior to the beginning of Council deliberations on next year's budget. And the administrative cap on the administrative costs can be no more than 10%. And knowing the personalities on the Oversight Committee, I know they're going to work to get that down much, much lower. And I just want to be clear about that. On an annual basis, the Portland Office of Transportation will have to go to the Oversight Committee and justify every single administrative cost. And it's the Oversight Committee that will recommend directly to the City Council, bypassing the Transportation Commissioner and the management of the Bureau, on exactly how much administrative fees PDOT gets to take off the top. So, the proposal. 71% of the resources go to maintenance and rehabilitation, 10% to safety, 2% to signal synchronization, 11% ongoing operations and maintenance, and 6% to administration.
And this pie chart includes both the vehicle registration fee and the state funding.
Next slide. The proposal, arterial street maintenance, in the 15 years, it would eliminate all Portland arterial streets in very poor and poor condition. We believe that spend a little bit more money now, save a lot more money later. We estimate those savings to be $168 million in future rehabilitation that we do not have to do too late in the deterioration game or on an emergency basis. It includes bridge improvements, provides funding for local match with Selwood Bridge if the vehicle registration fee goes forward. It eliminates weight restrictions and structural concern on Portland's five worst bridges. Each of those bridges are on freight routes. It rehabilitates signals so to ensure that they're operating safely and that the hardware supports signal synchronization. A lot of folks make a very good request all over the city. Why can't we just make the signals more synchronized? A lot of our signals are so old, it is very difficult to get them synchronized, keep them synchronized, and they're not smart signals where they can respond to the flow of and the volume of the traffic that has peaks and valleys during the course of the day. This will have safety improvements, this package, at 30 of the most dangerous intersections. Pedestrian safety includes 47 pedestrian islands. Each island reduces injuries by up to 40%, up to 20 miles of sidewalks and alternative paths. Southwest Portland, the busiest streets in Southwest Portland, half of them, almost half of them, have no sidewalks. 18% in East Portland do not have sidewalks. This amount of money begins to make a dent in that problem. Bicycle and pedestrian safety, 114 miles of neighborhood pedestrian and bicycle safety corridors. We know from our work on the bicycle master plan that although we are right now per capita have the highest bicycle use in the nation, we know that if we can provide bicyclists and pedestrians quieter alternative streets and corridors that everyone must use to get to and from different parts of the city, that we will see bicycle usage go way up. And in a time when Americans, on a monthly basis, on average, are spending more on transportation-related costs than they are on food, we need to provide more Portlanders inexpensive options for getting around. In terms of the safety, we understand in the transportation field that nobody knows their neighborhoods and their business districts better than the people who live and work there. And so this program sets aside $50,000 that will be allocated in each area of the city by business districts and by neighborhoods. I can't tell you how many times I get very good common sense requests. Can you put in speed bumps on such and such a street? I'd love to be able to do that. We haven't had the resources to do that. The neighborhoods and the business districts will now be able to decide that for themselves. We have safe routes to schools. Currently, there are less than 20% of our schools are served by the Safe Routes to Schools program, a nationally recognized program. We will now be in all elementary schools around Portland. And finally, 18 years ago, the Oregon State Police very graciously handed over responsibility for traffic patrol of the freeways within the city of Portland, I-84, I-5, I-405, 205, and the Portland Police Bureau struggles to provide any sort of meaningful enforcement. A quarter of all congestion in our region on the freeways is because of crashes. And those crashes occur at a higher rate because the amount of speeding on the freeways in the city of Portland is higher than it should be. As the third most trade-dependent region in the United States per capita, congestion for us on the freeways is not only dangerous, but it means a loss of jobs. This begins to help help address that. So it's a congestion. It helps with congestion on the freeways, as does the synchronization, as does a small amount of money that goes into the trip reduction program. We invest a lot in light rail and streetcars and our bus system. This helps educate people, the trip reduction program, how they can best use those resources. The environmental benefits, green street features I've mentioned to manage stormwater more sustainably. Giving more people options than driving alone in their car, bicycle, walking, and transit, and signal synchronization will reduce by 340 tons the CO2 emissions from transportation in our city. In terms of the funding mechanism, we're almost done here. In terms of the funding mechanism, the street maintenance fee, originally the overall package with the county included a street safety and maintenance fee, a gas tax, and a county vehicle registration fee. After talking to state leaders who wanted in the 09 session an opportunity to raise the gas tax statewide, they asked us here locally to delay going forward with a local gas tax, giving them a chance to do it statewide. This package assumes that they do that in the 09 session. That is a 12-cent per gallon gas tax increase phased in over 6 years. Street safety and maintenance fee is based on estimated number of trips. If you could go back one. Estimated number of trips in the ITE manual. I want to emphasize that for households, it'll be $4.54 eligible for a 30% and a low-income discount. So for someone that meets the green discounts and the low-income discount, the annual fee will be $2.80.
Commissioner Adams,
$2.22. $2.22 for low-income folks who meet also get the green discounts. Businesses pay a equivalent share per month. 50% of the revenues generated are by household residents of this overall package, and 50% of the revenue is generated by business. Our polling showed that Portlanders wanted the streets and roads paid equally by both residents and by businesses. Once a business gets, a business will initially get a estimate of what we think they should be paying. It will be based on the type of business, it'll be based on the size of business, and then the rates come out of, with some exceptions, the rates come out of the Institute for Transportation Engineering manual. We'll be sending businesses that estimate, what we think their business is, how big we think their business is, and what we think the trips are, and therefore an estimate of what we think they're going to pay. It's an estimate. They can send that estimate back and say, well, that might be great in terms of a donut shop on a nationalized basis, average basis, but my donut shop has a lot less trips. Each business will be entitled to a free appeal. So we are getting this program down to as close to the actual trips for every business as possible. 83% of Portland businesses who will be paying this fee will be paying on average $33 a month. It will appear as a line item on the city's utility bill. And 19 other Oregon cities have adopted a street utility fee. And on this slide, you can see that the low is $196 and the high is $6.51 in Ashland. Residential discounts for green discounts for the street safety and maintenance fee, 10% discount. If you have a bus pass, you get another 20% eligible for a 20% discount if you do not have a car registered at your address, and 10% if you own a top 10 most fuel-efficient vehicle. I can't underscore enough in the polling how supportive Portlanders were of offering some sort of green discount. Even though if you look at it, it's a relatively small amount of money, Portlanders want, as a matter of policy, collectively, to be rewarding people for doing the green thing. In terms of non-residential green discounts, 10% of the first, 10% off the first 10,000 trips if your business is located on a transit route, 10% if you offer your employees $30 per month for incentives to take transit, walk, bike, or carpool, and 20% if you offer them $60 per month. The business simply has to offer it. In terms of how this would work, you simply sign an affidavit that you're in compliance with this. If you, and what we will do is spot checks. We've piloted this approach with the Clean River Discount, the Downspout Disconnect program, where people simply filled out and signed an affidavit either online, on the telephone, or by paper, which we will send to folks. And we do spot audits, and we found compliance to be very, very high. So we also are able to double check against certain data sources many of these discounts. The 89-person member Safe Sound and Green Stakeholder Committee has moved this proposal forward. Shortly, you're going to be hearing from Chris Kopka and Kevin Spellman, and they can speak for themselves. Other endorsements include Portland Business Alliance, Elders in Action, the Portland Oregon Visitors Association, the Portland Small Business Advisory Council, Rails to Trails Conservancy, the Oregon Trucking Association, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, the Portland Bicycle Advisory Committee, the Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee, the Portland Freight Committee, and others. This is a very diverse and unusual coalition of support around any measure, much less a measure around transportation. So what you have before you is an ordinance that would implement the SMIF and resolutions that call on the state legislature for action on the gas tax, and a resolution that supports Multnomah County efforts. Unless there's questions from council.
I did have a couple questions. First, you mentioned that the number of traffic accidents and deaths over a period of time. Do you have any percentage of reduction as a result of improving the safety of the traffic, the roadways in Portland, that you could estimate?
You know, Mark Lear is our safety expert on this. We know about some specific kind of improvements, but where we target these high crash intersections, it's going to take traffic engineering to determine what is the best improvement to make there. So in the pedestrian islands, we have found that where we install those, there is a 40% kind of improvement in the safety. You have other statistics?
A couple. One of the things that drove this program was ODOT. Sure, Mark Lear, Office of Transportation. One of the things that drove this program and also requests that we made last year for one-time funding was some work we'd done with an ODOT grant that looked at nationally recognized program focusing on high crash intersections and other areas where we know we have known crash problems. And in some of those cities, based on these type of approaches, as a citywide basis, they were able to reduce crash rates over 10-year periods by 10 to 30%. So that's, I think, gives you sort of a ballpark. Within each of these areas, we have more specific numbers, as Sue said, 40% for the pedestrian islands. One of the things I think that we're most interested or excited about is that right now, over 80% of our bicycle crashes and similar numbers on our pedestrian crashes occur on our busiest streets. So to the degree that we're making a big investment in bicycle pedestrian safety corridors or block off our busiest streets, we're really hopeful that shifting some of that traffic will show dramatic safety improvements.
The you had $50,000 for the district coalitions. Is that per year or over the life of the per year?
Per year.
And you said that Smith, that it would be paid for 50% residential and 50% business.
Yes.
But I note that all government agencies will also pay.
That's correct.
So what part of 50% are we paying?
I think we class us as commercial. We're not residential. So, and I don't know what, do we have an overall number? Are you talking about the city specifically or
well,
public
the,
sector?
The city, but I'm also interested, you know, we, TriMet, I can't remember what the figure is, Commissioner Adams, but you mentioned how one bus chews up the street for how many, equivalent to how many cars?
20,000.
Well, John Rist, Office of Transportation. Mr. Mayor, we've estimated that the cost to the city, and it's, again, as Commissioner Adams said, an estimate at this point in time, total to the other city bureaus of $277,000 per year, about $150,000 to the general funded agencies. To other government agencies inside the city limits, we'd have to go back and calculate those, and I don't have them right in front of me like Metro or TriMet or the state of Oregon.
And have these other agencies been, other than the county, I know the county is here, but have these other agencies been advised?
Yes, like, for instance, the Port of Portland. We have negotiated. We know what their rate is, and they understand that or know that they will pay that and willing to pay it.
I had a couple questions.
Yes.
Do we have a definition of the administrative expenses subject to the 10% limitation? Is that in the ordinance?
It's largely billing cost in that category. But John, you want to?
Yeah, Commissioner Saltzman, if you go to, if you have this in front of you, it's a part of the ordinance, the proposal with the, the specific delineated line items, it's line items that talk about city billing and customer service costs. Over the 15 years, that's $14.2 million. And then the program oversight and accounting is $35.8 million over 15 years.
So that's 10% or less?
Pardon?
So that is the definition of the 10% administrative cost allowable,
yes.
Billing and
yes.
Oversight?
Correct.
So the administrator, I guess, that's created under this
is
ordinance?
In that.
Is in that.
And the accountant that underpins that
correct.
Is in that as well.
Correct.
Specific engineering and project management.
So I guess my question, is that defined in the ordinance or is that?
This chart is an attachment
is
to the ordinance.
Is there a definition of administrative costs in the ordinance?
When you're pointing to me, you're telling me what it is. I guess I'm just wondering, is it so defined? So there's no room for ambiguity in the future.
Specifically in the ordinance.
What is an administrative cost and what is not?
Subject to 10% limitation.
Because you're adopting the ordinance with this as an attachment and it shows those line items within it, I would say yes. But if you want a clarification of that, we can certainly write one up and you can add it as an amendment if you don't believe that that's clear enough.
If that's something we can write up before,
right
before we
now.
Get to a vote, yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to do that.
Sure.
Okay.
And then my second question, is there a cap? I thought in earlier iterations there was a cap on the total, a maximum amount. Anyone could pay. Yeah. Is that?
No.
No, that's not there anymore.
Do you want to explain the approach to?
Yeah, and Commissioner Saltzman, in lieu of a cap, we looked at a variety of different ways of how to spread the cost in as fair and equitable manner as we could to the non-residential portion of this fee. And we looked at what other cities have done across Oregon, and we came up with what we believe is a pretty unique methodology in the sense of everybody within the first 10,000 trips pays the same amount, a penny and a half per trip. So that covers everybody, whether you're a very large commercial property or a very small commercial property. And then after that, there's a graduated rate structure that for every trip above 10,000, the cost goes down per trip in incremental methodology. So instead of putting a cap in, that then we believed would adversely affect small businesses, we put so that everybody pays an equal amount, whether you're a large firm or a small firm.
Okay. So if we could put together a definition between now and the end of the hearing, I'd like to offer
exactly.
that.
Exactly. We'll go back and do that.
Thanks.
Were the bureaus advised of this? They've already turned in their request for the 0809 budget, and this is, you said $275,000?
$277,000.
For the entire, all the bureaus of the
city? That's our best estimate today. We have to go back, sit down with each individual bureau to identify specific properties, the square footage per property. But we notified bureaus. They knew this was coming. We have been working with the various bureaus on this.
I made a presentation at the Bureau of Directors meeting as well about this and have had specific conversations with some of the bureaus.
Further questions? Excuse me.
Thank you. I'm sure there'll be more questions to answer after testimony.
We'll write that amendment.
Could I have Bonnie McKnight and Kevin Spellman and Chris Kopka come forward? So Bonnie was part of the management team on this effort, and Chris Kopka participated in the, is going to speak to the 89-person steering committee process, and Kevin Spellman was on the audit committee. But why don't we start with you, Bonnie?
All right. Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Bonnie McKnight, and I am here today as part of the Green Safe Sound and Green Streets team. My role was to build neighborhood associations into the process that this proposal will use. I believe I was asked to do that because Commissioner Adams has consistently demonstrated his willingness to use the neighborhood association system to inform city initiatives such as regulatory reform before he was a commissioner and others since then. His understanding of this is illustrated in the Safe Sound and Green Streets project by annual funding allocation for each coalition to use in delivering its own smaller but equally important projects. The neighborhood association system began 34 years ago. It has had continual funding from the city over the subsequent years. It is the most basic, open, and consistent communication system the city has with its citizens. It's geographically based, as these projects will be, and it's equipped to bring local information into decision-making from the very beginning. To strain a metaphor, neighborhood associations and coalition involvement from the beginning can avoid going down a road before you find it is full of potholes, and it can provide an opportunity to either fix the potholes or see if there's a better route to use. I was so enthralled by my metaphor, I forgot page 2. The basic proposal that we have brought forward is, and I have a copy that I'll have distributed to you, is a beginning for the coalition involvement. None of the coalitions have formally adopted it, but all the coalitions I've contacted, and that's 6 of the 7, are eager to develop their ownership of the role and formally adopt their version of it during the next few months. The expectation is that early involvement will provide at least 2 benefits. One, it will inform decision-making about projects from the very beginning. And secondly, and probably most important, it will build strong partnerships and communication networks with the 2 bureaus that will be involved in project implementation, and that will be the Portland Department of Transportation and the Bureau of Environmental Services. I've asked some folks from the coalitions to be here to just briefly comment on the proposed coalition role, and I don't know when you want me to do that.
We'll do that a little later.
All right.
Thank you, Bonnie, and your work on this has been invaluable. One of the questions that should be asked when embarking on any kind of endeavor like this is to not necessarily take City Council or the management of PDOT's word for it that additional resources are needed, but we wanted to get third-party verification of PDOT's financial situation. And so we asked Kevin and a group of outside experts to sit down. Kevin was very good to join the group because he had been involved with some of the audits of PDOT in the last 3 years, and they looked over PDOT's financial situation, and they have a report to the City Council and to the community.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Kevin Spellman. As Commissioner Adams said, I was a member of the stakeholder committee and participated in the finance committee that was asked. We were being given a fairly dire picture of the transportation situation in the city, and the stakeholder committee asked us to kind of look behind the curtain a little bit and see if we were really being told the facts. Sadly, we were. We looked at the budget, we looked at the asset and condition reports, we met several times with Sue Keel, John Rist, Mark Lear, who you've met, Casey Short, Steve Townsend, and others, and could only conclude that the backlog of deferred maintenance is real, the backlog is growing, the current level of services without additional funding will decline further. So the backlog, the current level supporting the existing services can't even be maintained without additional funding. We looked at the prospect of maybe PDOT could do their work better. We could look at efficiencies. And so we looked again at the audits that were produced a year ago and looked at what PDOT was doing. Clearly, every bureau has an opportunity to increase efficiencies, but there's nothing remotely on the scale that's necessary to deal with this problem. We did recommend back to the stakeholder committee that safeguards would be necessary to put in place, including the oversight committee, the cap on administrative fees, a separate tracking mechanism, and I believe all of those safeguards are now incorporated in the ordinances. So in summary, we could find nothing in the documentation that contradicted the dire state of affairs that the city finds itself in, and we recommended back to the stakeholder committee that the SMIF be put in place.
So when we started this effort, we wanted to make sure that the conversation started with do nothing, keep the status quo, looking forward. And that's one in bookend. The other bookend of the discussion is what does it mean to do everything to bring the system up? We also looked at all the potential local funding options and where the money should go. And the 89-person stakeholder committee was key in shaping the package that you have before you, and Chris Kopka is going to provide his thoughts on that process.
Good afternoon. I'm Christopher Kopka, Senior Vice President of Real Estate for Downtown Development Group. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Commissioner Adams and the City Council on a well-run, open, and interactive process leading up to today. I appreciate the breadth of the work undertaken and the diligence of responding to issues raised throughout the process. I don't think we left too many stones unturned. I've worn several hats throughout this process, like a number of people before you, including representing the Portland Business Alliance, serving on the Safe Streets Finance Work Group with Kevin, being one of those few of the 89 members of our large group. Even trying to find a room that'll hold 89 members is a challenge. And lastly, representing the couple of businesses that I work with and work for. So I sit here today as a business owner and representative myself. Let me say at the outset that the business community is not particularly excited about self-imposing another fee or a tax. I don't think that probably comes as any surprise, but it does acknowledge that the entire community's best interests are served by supporting this proposal. And keeping our transportation system safe and efficient and transportation flowing is part of the lifeline to a successful and functioning city. And for us, that was a paramount principle for continuing down this path together. There's a lot of things we're proud of in bringing this package forward to you, but I would say among the top of those is that we were able to reach accord both with the residential part of the community and the business community on the fund, on the type of funding mechanism, and on the actual charges. And so we sit here today, neighborhood association and business community, both endorsing the same proposal. I don't think you see that often. I think we both agree that it is both fair and equitable. As a participant in the finance work group, not unlike what Kevin had said to you, we found the following, that there's a significant increase in streets that need to be rebuilt because they have not been adequately maintained, and it's increasing at an exponential level. First, it begins with potholes, then with subgrade deterioration, and after that, it compounds itself and gets more and more expensive. And that became, when Kevin and the other group looked at it, a pretty staggering number. From a business standpoint, many bridges are now weight limited, increasing costs and timelines to businesses, which is really not good for any of us, plus increases overall traffic on streets. And lastly, the congestion that results both to the individual and to the business and the time and money that it costs. So it is a real financial issue for the community at large. My role on the 89-person Safe and Sound Green Stakeholder Committee, I found that the Safe Street program will be primarily dedicated to maintenance and safety projects. We candidly began with our blinders on a little bit more for actual filling potholes. It took us a while to get our arms around some of the other programs that had been added along the way, but candidly at this point feel like it is a well-balanced program. It deals with not only trying to move traffic with better signalization, for example, but also dealing with policing and things that, when there is a failure, will help facilitate getting out of that failure mode and back into regular functioning mode. So we are on balance pleased by the various aspects of the program. This proposal provides sufficient funding to eliminate, as Sam said, both the poor and very poor conditioned streets. Not all the streets, just the arterial streets and just those two categories. We're pleased to have added a specific work list. There's maps and tables and lists of which projects get funded so people know what to expect with this program. And that was very important in our looking at making sure we had a well-defined program. We've looked closely at the Oversight Committee work and its charge and its responsibilities and feel like it's been well-detailed and will help assure delivery. For these reasons, I participate in this effort to identify a solution to maintenance funding and to the problems at large. The proposal before you today is part of the solution, but it doesn't solve all of the funding problems. Since the early 1990s, the amount of general fund going to PDOT has declined, including monies from the current utility license fee. Ultimately, I believe this should be part of a longer-term solution to the transportation problems we face. It goes beyond a discussion of deploying... We would hope that as we look at the whole system, because this only, again, addresses maintenance and safety on a certain proportion of the streets, that as we look ahead to the whole system, we will need to look at other funding. And we would hope at that point we could revisit discussions about utility franchise fee and general fund and not just to the electorate. Our transportation is critical to our economy and our quality of life. We have failed to keep up with the needs for too long. I support this proposal and look forward to working on this with Commissioner Adams and the rest of council on a sustainable revenue base for this critical core service. Thank you.
And I just want the council and the audience to know that in addition to Bonnie's good work and the staff leadership's good work of Mark and Jamie and everybody, Kevin and Chris and the folks involved in both of these committees have put in countless hours on this effort over the past 6 months, and I want to thank you for that.
I think we're here to actually, in a flip way, say if you would adopt it today and there'd be no more meetings, we'd just be pleased.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mayor, with your permission, I'd like to ask to the rostrum Senator Rick Metzger, Chair Ted Wheeler, and Tom Imeson from the Port of Portland. I think state officials get to go first.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. I'm Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26, Chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, and I am here today at the request of Commissioner Adams who has given me the opportunity to come and talk about how enthusiastic I am about going to the 2009 session and raising taxes for transportation. And I appreciate that offer very much. But on a serious note, it is an important issue. It is one that's going to be moving forward, and I'll talk just briefly about that. But first of all, I want to commend the commissioner and all the stakeholders who have been working very hard, Chairman Wheeler. We have been working on this issue collaboratively over the last number of months. I do appreciate the actions of the commissioner and the chairman in considering the gas tax issue, and while it is important, while it is demonstrable as an element for a good, comprehensive package, there are some inherent unfairnesses when different jurisdictions have local taxes for the dealers who deal with gasoline, and it really is a state responsibility. So while I understand it, it is important that we do our job, and I appreciate giving us, the 2009 Legislative Assembly, the opportunity to show that we can get the job done while maintaining your opportunity if, in fact, my colleagues do not move forward to do what you think is best for your community. I think that's the right kind of partnership. I also want to articulate what is happening on a state level. We have been working aggressively since the signing of the 2007 session. Within 3 weeks, we had a major stakeholder group that I've been working on with Senator Bruce Starr, the Vice Chair of the Transportation Committee, many of the stakeholders who are part of your group and beyond, about developing a comprehensive package so that we, as partners, counties and city and the state, meet our responsibility to have viable communities and a transportation system, which it is, a system throughout the state that meets the needs of our citizens and provides the economic opportunities and therefore the revenue opportunities to meet the needs that we all have to meet, whether it's schools, healthcare. We know it's tied to economic opportunity, and transportation is a key issue on that. Currently, as you are well aware, not only is the legislature actively engaged in the issue early on, we intend to have a package ready prior to the start of the 2009 session so we can also have the same type of public input and discussion prior to session as you have done with this particular program. You have noticed that the governor is actively taking a leadership role in this issue. For the first time in my 9 years in the Legislative Assembly, major stakeholder groups and all the major business organizations throughout the state are pushing aggressively this issue as a top issue for the 2009 session. And I'm here to tell you that, and I know Commissioner Leonard, from your experience in the legislature, this has not happened on this issue in my 9 years in the Assembly, and I think dating back to when Commissioner Leonard was a state senator, that you actually had organizations like the Oregon Trucking Association, the AAA, the major business groups, labor, environmental groups, all on a page that we need to do something about transportation. My commitment to you is that we will have a comprehensive proposal that addresses statewide needs, that provides through the allocation process the revenues that are needed to fill that hole in the proposal that Commissioner Adams has moved forward, and once and for all take a serious approach to maintaining the quality of life that we have throughout this state and recognizing that transportation is the key. And this will move through the 2009 Legislative Assembly, and I think if we do our job with the citizens of this entire state as to how this affects their own personal livability, this will be a successful effort. And again, I commend this proposal. This is part of it. It is a partnership, and we have worked very, very hard to keep that partnership together and recognizing that not any of our jurisdictions can meet this need alone. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners.
Mayor, members of the council, and those in attendance, part of my willingness to recommend to you, and I think Chair Wheeler felt the same way, is in deferring the consideration of a local gas tax, deferring it to try to get the 09 session to act on this issue statewide, is the leadership that Senator Mexer has obviously been demonstrating. I don't know of anyone, as he has barnstormed the state, talking to local communities around the state, why this issue is important, and as he just said very eloquently, how it ties together with other issues. So part of our willingness to defer moving forward locally on a gas tax is because Senator Metzger and others are showing the kind of resolve and putting in the kind of effort and leadership that it's going to take. So thank you. Chair Wheeler.